Bread aisle, are you ready to rock? Dave's Killer Bread is the country's number one organic bread for a reason. Always delivering killer taste, killer texture, and killer nutrition. This isn't bread. This is bread amplified.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Bolton from Bolton, the show where my brother Josh and I set each other up for lively hockey talk. Josh, what's happening today in Brookfield, Nova Scotia?
Are you okay?
Holding it together here. Oh, that's twice. The people that are watching the show don't get to see all the stuff that you say right before we go to air. So you get me all fired up with these movie quotes and these television things, and it's all laughs. And then you just go into, so anyway, and you're all of a sudden you're the game show host. And it's like, and I can't turn it off that fast.
Well, you know, if I didn't start, we would never get started. So I just have to get into it sometimes. In any case, you're doing all right then there. Things are going well.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I see you got the tough call background. I think it's a good look here for the show. It gets a nice hockey look for us. I try to create mine into something hockey. I don't know if it's fooling anybody, but yours looks really good. And, of course, you were on a podcast recently. Josh, not Josh from Bolton, but Josh from Tough Call was invited as a guest on a recent podcast, Oilers Live, with Michael Ebert, the guy. I don't know if I pronounced his name properly. How did you enjoy that?
That was really fun. It was nice to have a different voice, a different platform to talk to people, especially about things where there's a lot of people that have open minds, obviously, and there's a lot of people that don't, and it gets pretty tiresome when you're getting a lot of backlash from certain people. It's not the majority of people. The majority of people are sensible. They have good conversations. Mm-hmm. But usually that's the tweets you get and the messages you get are few and far between. The vocal minority are usually the ones that are a little more aggressive online. So it was nice to have a conversation with somebody for a full hour that was reasonable and well received. You know, it was a really good platform, and he's a really good interviewer. I enjoyed talking to him, and we had a little bit of he lives in Halifax now, so.
Yeah, I heard him talking about somewhere in the East Coast, and I was like, oh, I see, he's there, okay.
Yeah, he's now an East Coaster, and it's so we had a little chat about that in certain areas, and yeah, it was great. Mm-hmm. The people you meet on Twitter.
Big time. And then, yeah, when I enjoyed it too, right? So I'm just going to tell everybody, get down to that podcast, Oilers Live. You can just search that on the anywhere in the podcast. It's also, there's a YouTube version. It didn't come up. It was buffering a lot for me, but I'm not sure if that's sorted now, but certainly in the audio version, I got to enjoy it clear and clean. And it was awesome. Really good fun. So go check Josh out on Oilers Live. And well, let's get to our agenda here, Josh. And before actually even we do that, let me just say to people who are listening here, get up on here and subscribe to what we're doing here. Like what we're doing. Like the Bolton from Bolton, where you're listening, or on the YouTube page as well. And, of course, suggest some kind of topic for us. Ask a quick question. Get involved in here. And it makes it a lot – it pushes us a little to do this a little more frequently. I hope with our time opening up for the summer holiday, we might get to be a little more frequent. But, you know, we've been obviously very busy with lots of stuff. But, of course, we're still keeping at it. And you can see we're out here again today. Going at it for you. And we've missed a bit, Josh. It's been a couple series since we've been back talking about it. And lots has happened. It's the Stanley Cup final all of a sudden on us. But you know what? I've been thinking things for the whole time, and I've got some stuff to say about it. Now, one big thing that's going on, one big issue that kind of underlies the whole thing is about this whole vindication of the North Division. It's almost like, well, Montreal's in the final now. It just proves the North was not crap. And, you know, and imagine if they win the cup. I mean, well, there it is. So what's all this talk that everybody was saying? Well, I'm here to say that the North still sucked. It sucked at the time. People recognize it sucked. They said it sucked. And it did. And two things can be true at the same time, that Montreal can be deserving of where they are and that they are playing well and beating these teams, and that they are well built and doing, like, they're playing the right hockey. They're in the zone, et cetera. And I'll talk more about that in a bit. But it's also true that they sucked in the Breezes and that division sucked. So that's, I want to kind of break down a little why that's true, because I don't think this proves much anything. Like it's a whole different thing. So what I see here, and so let's say first, and I want to come out and say that because it's, you know, just fun to say, but what I'll say first to preface everything is that Montreal is playing well. Montreal is a good, they're playing good hockey. They've got good players. If you really break it down, Carey Price is that world-class goalie and you need him to be. Shea Weber's a big time D who, right? And then they've got those kind of top four that they have that are really good. They've got players that can play. They've got their shutdown line and everybody knows. I don't have to go into all those details. And those other players are stepping up. Now, we also know they are all playing at their ultimate best they can play, but it's more of a team thing that they've got going on. And again, many commentators, many analysts have broken this down. Now, what I think is going on here is that what this shows, not that the North was really good, it shows that the parity in the league and the way the game is played today is what I think, Josh, that all the players are really good. It's really tough. And you even look at ones that don't even make the NHL. They're right there. The health, the fitness, the speed of them, their hockey IQ of everybody. There are obviously distinguished players, right? But for the most part, it's a whole different game. And you implement a system and it looks kind of the same from not every team, but in some capacity, it's the same. And it's people just executing this thing. And I think what Montreal is doing is executing a really good defense first game. They are in some kind of zone. It's almost like a magical zone. It's almost an impossible zone that they're in. And they've been able to maintain it for three rounds and possibly four. But I don't think it's sustainable past, if they can somehow do it for another round, past this. And it certainly is not sustainable over a season. And that's not what they were. They're just hanging on to something that's, like I say, a magical zone at the moment. So I think that this is kind of, it's a new era of what's going on in the NHL these days. In the past several years, we've seen lots of things that are unusual. It's like, this has never happened, or this is something that hasn't happened in a long time. And very exceptional things are happening. Some of that has been due to COVID situations, but also it's to do with the nature of the game today. And I think there's just opportunity for, you know, this idea that almost any team can win, kind of, it's almost true. Like, there is the idea of the parity was to bring hope to franchises who don't get to spend the money or whatever. And then anybody can kind of turn around. And I think we're seeing a lot of that where somebody can, you know, St. Louis gets in at the last day and they win the cup. Montreal, they shouldn't even been in. This is one of the main points, by the way. You want to cut me off any second before I keep going on, Josh, or yeah.
I'm not cutting this off. I'm just like the interviewer that had Phil Esposito in the Canada Cup and he's sounding off. And I'm just going to let them go.
Okay, so let's get down to some of that. One of the first things is, so, you know, and this has been pointed out somewhere, but like Montreal finished 18th in the league, right? They were fourth in the North. They were 18th in the league. The Rangers and the Stars were ahead of them, right? So technically, they shouldn't have made the playoffs. So if we're talking about it was a good, like they weren't even a playoff team. So I'm trying to separate what they're doing now to what the division was and what they were. So in that division. And then, you know, I think, so they were that. And I think that a lot of people were talking about, you know, the North had Ottawa and whatever, and a couple of teams you could beat up on it, but every team had bottom feeders. Well, one of the bottom feeders, you know, who are the bottom feeders? They're Ottawa, of course, in the North. Everybody, that's where that, you know, all the teams like got to rack up their points and get everything. But then what about in the rest of the league? Buffalo was kind of a, you know, a beat up doll. My Red Wings. Okay. They're one of the bottom feeders. Now, who's in the Atlantic Division? Ottawa, Buffalo, Detroit are all in the Atlantic Division. And I'm talking about next year. I'm stepping right up right now. I don't think either Toronto or Montreal, one of them or both of them are not making the playoffs next year. I'm saying that straight up. That's what I'm calling right now. And this goes to my idea that the North was not good. Like, they're not going to make the playoffs next year. You could talk about, well, they're the cup champs, or they're like this really good. No, they're not. I'm separating what's going on now to what the regular season is and what kind of team they are. I don't think anybody's going to say that Montreal's a better team than Vegas. I wonder. I'm just saying, throwing out a bunch of points are all over the place, but I'm going to get back and it's all going to connect somewhere. But really, Josh, I want to ask somebody, if you had Vegas and Montreal again, would you dare pick Montreal? You might, but I'm talking if there's real stakes. Let's say it was like a Game of Thrones or something, and you had like death by trial by combat. You know that one? Where they choose, I'm going to do trial by combat. You choose your champion, and you've got Vegas and Montreal, and your life is in the balance. Who are you going to go with? I'm betting Vegas. I'm not going to go with the Montreal. I don't think they're going to win another series against them. I think they deserve to win the series. I'm not saying that. You see, they deserve to win the series. They played right, but I don't think they're better than Vegas, a better team. And I also don't think, now I know we have the luxury of there's already one game in the final done, but I pick Tampa, and I would pick Tampa anytime against Montreal. I don't think they're better than Tampa. They could have a chance to win because of what they're doing. Carey's in that zone. They got their whole thing going, as we know. But I don't think they're going to win, and I wouldn't pick them to win. And I think at some point it's going to catch up. And, of course, next year it certainly will. I'm looking at next season for almost not taking team. It's hard to tell because there's going to be an off season and then a preseason, and we'll really see what we have. But for the most part, where teams are in their current stage of their windows or whatever you want to call it, and their development and where they're trying to get to, taking all the teams at what that is, I'm looking at next season, and I said I'm not picking either Toronto or Montreal is not making the playoffs, or both of them, right? Because that's Atlantic Division. You're going to have Tampa, Florida, and Boston with those three. And then in the wild cards, you got in the East, you got the Metro, and you got Pittsburgh and Philly and Washington and Carolina, and I'm missing people, New York Islanders again. Yeah, man. And I'm even missing more after that. Columbus is still something. I mean, really? You think they're going to make it? I mean, they're not. And I'll tell you what else. I'm not picking on these guys as far. I think Austin Matthews is pretty much the best goal scorer in the league. There's Ovi still could claim it and come back and beast it and claim that again. But he's among the very top, if not the best. But he's not getting 65 goals, whatever his 40 goals projects to or whatever in 82 games. He's not getting that next season. In that when he has to play against those Atlantic Division teams regularly, and then even though he's got three bottom feeders, right, in the Atlantic, he's not doing, and then he's going to have to play against these Colorado and Vegas and everybody in the league. Guess what He did it in the North Division. You had Ray Ferraro during that time. Remember? He was like, remember that famously? We put it on our show. He's like, they're making this league look like a bantam league. And I was like, he wasn't talking about the league, remember? They weren't playing in the league. Where were they playing? In that North Division. That's what he was watching. That's what he saw. That's what he called. This looks like a bantam league. That's what it looked like to everybody. Stop trying to pretend that it wasn't that, bitch, because Montreal is winning. And another thing I would ask, would you even pick them to beat the Leafs again? Like, the Leafs were up 3-1 in the series, right? I mean, it's an amazing, miracle, magical, pixie dust thing that is going on with Montreal. Like, and again, not to say undeservedly, I don't want to come down like I'm coming down on them too hard. Like, they are doing well now. They came back and won that series. I don't know how they did that. But from there, they came and they played the right way and frustrated these teams and played this game similar to the New York Islanders, the way they play. They just frustrate teams. And then the right guys popped the goals at the right time with that confidence that was overflowing because of Carey doing what he's doing, right? I also want to add in, if I'm still flying, I also want to add in, it is true. They did it last year in the playoffs too. They beat Pittsburgh, right? They made Pittsburgh look like that. The way that like Vegas looked, it was ridiculous, right? Everybody knows the stats. They kept Marner's, all the top duos down to one goal between them, right? Matthews, Marner, Ehlers, Wheeler. Ehlers, Wheeler, is that how it sounds? Anyway, and then Pacioretty and Stone, was it? Or whatever their top two are. They kept them down to one goal between them. That's what they made the Penguins look like last year. Carey made them look like that. Now I thought, well, that's just a short series. But again, if they re-upped, I would pick the Penguins to beat them again, right? So there's something that's true about hockey is a game where in the playoffs, it's about one kind of game or series, but it's about maintaining tight shift-to-shift focus, where a regular season is not that. And in the regular season, kind of just the better teams kind of shine through overall.
Major phone carriers make you sign contracts with rigid data plans to trap you into a kind of forced phonogamy. Sounds pretty insecure if you ask me. At Consumer Cellular, we believe in a more consensual and healthy form of phonogamy, free of contracts and more flexible to your data needs. This way, you stick around not because we force you to with contracts and fees, but because you love our phone plans. like ardently love our phone plans. Phonogamously. Consumer Cellular. When Freedom calls, we're here to answer. Call us at 1-888-FREEDOM.
Because they just have more to carry them. And that's what I'm separating and saying. The North was not as strong as everybody. But yet, with the parity in the league today, any team can kind of catch a zone and, you know, with the good enough players, like Carey Price you have, right? Let's remember. Then you can win. I mean, I wouldn't really say Detroit could come out and do that out of nowhere. Like, I don't know how Bernier would just play out of his mind or something. I don't know. Like, and if you really have enough, but Montreal could do it. They're right in that level of, in the top, you know, that many teams that could possibly do it. And they have. But it's not to say that they're a good, like a great hockey team. Like, again, I go back to who picked it? Who called it? Nobody. Everybody looked at it and said, this sucks, right? This is not going to go anywhere. Like, it can't. Don't pretend like we didn't see that. I just can't stand it that people are saying that this is proof. You know, I don't know. Matthews is not getting 65 goals. Marner's not being top in five in the league or whatever next year. They're not gonna. Like, McDavid's not getting 105 points in 56 games next year. Now, he might. I'm not holding back anything from that guy. He could just dominate everybody in this kind of regular season environment. But I'm telling you, all that stuff is not happening. It's a new world. We will see. If you think that division is just like, aha, we were saying it, but now it's not true, re-up it next season. Tell me how any of those teams are going to do in the real world next season. It's not happening. Now, having said all that, I mean, you can come back at me with some of that, but having said that, we will talk about what they're doing and all the good stuff that's going on and talk about the matchups. I missed a few things.
Will we? You have given that some thought. Oh, boy.
I've been sitting on this for 3 weeks. I got no one to talk to. I've been watching it happen, and then I hear people coming out of the woodwork going, aha, see, look, the North was good. The North didn't suck. All you people saying that. It was you saying it, and now you're trying to pretend you didn't say it, right?
Well, I think people forget also that Montreal came right out of the gate, and they were like, ooh, they look like a juggernaut. And then all of a sudden they were like last year they weren't a playoff team, and they went on a run in the playoffs, and they weren't a playoff team. This year they're not a playoff team, and they go on a playoff run. Like, it's...
Oh, but help them twice. Get in the door.
There's one thing, you know, to say building for the playoffs, but there's another thing to say building only for the playoffs. Like, you have to have some sort of...
You got to get in.
You know, you got to get in, yeah. So it's absolutely bananas. They couldn't win in overtime to save their life in the regular season. And I know some people are saying, oh, look at them now. They're winning in overtime. But 3-on-3 OT and 5-on-5 OT is a completely different animal.
Yeah.
Like, it's you can't even say, ooh, they finally figured it out. No, they didn't. They put two extra guys on the ice. They can clog it up. But whatever.
Yeah.
I mean, but they are playing fantastically well. And I keep saying to people, I'm glad they're not only depending on Carey Price. Like, you can't say that Carey Price is carrying them and they're stealing games. They're beating teams down. They are winning these games and they're scoring enough goals to back it up. So it's been amazing. But like you said, that's not really sustainable, I don't think. As far as whether the North is good or not, like, it doesn't – it's in the playoffs, everyone had Colorado picked as, you know, the Stanley Cup champion. And look at them. And you got, like, everything's a head-scratcher there. And you don't understand what went wrong again. I'll tell you what went wrong. You had to go through this team and this team to try and get anywhere. And, you know, eventually you do have to make your mark and win those series. And I know it's frustrating when you don't, and it's disappointing that they haven't yet. But you still, like, because I said the same thing when Ovechkin couldn't beat Crosby for a while there, Washington couldn't get past Pittsburgh. And it's like, well, in that same time frame, almost every other team in their division made a conference final. And Washington couldn't. So you can't always just say, oh, well, it's because we couldn't beat Pittsburgh, because other teams found a way to get there. So eventually Colorado has to find a way. But what I'm saying is that, like, good teams fall apart in the playoffs. Even really good teams that should win in the playoffs and are built for both the regular season and playoffs sometimes don't have their success right away. Whereas Montreal just seems to be a playoff-only type of team. It's unbelievable what they can do when they have no business doing it in any other situation. So it's just like a completely different animal. When you look at some of the people that had great regular seasons, like you said, Toronto was up 3-1 in their series, and they were winning the regular season. And then all of a sudden it's like, boy, they sucked again. They blew it again. What went wrong?
Okay, let me break up everything that's going on right now to announce to the listeners that Josh and I, now there was a bit, you could see that it's awkward where we just cut there, but that's not the big problem. That was just a bit of a freezing, and then we go off and we come back and we were going to continue and cut it straight like nothing happened. We did that, but we went ahead and recorded all the other things we're going to talk about, went through everything, had a great time, fired up, and I didn't record it. Nightmare. So we are back recording. We're conscientious. We want to give it to you what we were going to give. We're going to try to do it in a faster pace, more point form, but we're still going to give you all the goods that we just thought we had given you. But anyway, for all you, again, for listeners, I can understand you're like, who cares? I don't even know this happened. So just get on with it already. But it's just something worth mentioning. And it is a little awkward, this cut right now. Well, we're going to go on with it. Josh, I was about to say to your thing about the Leafs being up, the word that came to mind to me about what Montreal's got going on here is impossible. A lot of things that are happening for them are impossible. You had Toronto dominated that North Division, dominated. Montreal limped in, and then Toronto has them 3-1 up in the series. Who is calling that they're coming back? What word would you use to describe the idea of them coming back? Something close to impossible, I would say, right? And then it was, Winnipeg sweeps Edmonton, which seemed weird, and then Montreal sweeps Winnipeg. That was not quite impossible, but it seems really far from what the regular season was. So it can just show you that what that division was all about is not what Montreal's doing now, to my point, right? It's just a whole different thing. So the whole thing's impossible. Then they go into Vegas, right? And what would you think of the Vegas? Was anybody really picking them? Like, this was where before in the early stages, people were kind of go, well, that's kind of the North Division. Maybe it's possible. They play them all season. It's Montreal. They have that psychology against these teams that they play each other. But now it's just Vegas is going to kill them. I even called a bloodbath myself, right? But again, I was surprised. But I don't think I was a fool. I don't think many people were picking Montreal, but they went and did it. Now, by the way, I found it really funny. One thing I mentioned to you before is just on the side is about your board that you had, right? Montreal and Vegas, since their inception, you used to have, you didn't have a piece for Vegas for your, where you pick the playoffs and show all the teams, your board piece there. So you used Montreal in place of Vegas because they were never in the playoffs. Anyway, but this year, look at that. Vegas is out and Montreal's in. They've taken their own piece on the board with Tampa at the end. So isn't that something? I just thought that was a funny thing to mention. Really funny, isn't it? But you got to get yourself a Vegas piece now because maybe you don't. Because as I said, Montreal won't be back in the playoffs next year.
Well, I was thinking, Rory made me the Vegas sticker that I could stick on. And I might use Montreal next year when they don't make the playoffs. As for your prediction, I'll use them for the Kraken.
Yeah. Is the Kraken making the playoffs? Maybe. See how that thing goes.
Oh, boy.
I wanted to add something to Josh on this impossible theme, right? Again, I want to add in something that I don't hear people talking about anymore. Is this Drouin? Jonathan Drouin's not even in the lineup, right? If you go back, people, that's what I'm trying to call on everybody here. It's just like, go back to what you really saw. Stop trying to pretend that you didn't see what you saw and called what you called and said, like, that this is a crap division. And then now you're going, see, it was crap. Yes, it was. But at the time, again, another thing that people like to add to the impossibility was they're going up against Toronto Maple Leafs, who by far dominated that division. It's a mismatch. The only thing you could say is that playoffs are a new season. Montreal has a history and they just have that thing, which is what they're proving that they're doing. But you take out Jonathan Drouin out of that. Let's just take out one of their top forwards. At the time, we didn't really have Suzuki, Kotkaniemi in mind, Caulfield at all. That was really, didn't even start the series, right? They thought, maybe not yet. This is what they thought. And you take out Drouin, who was pretty much your top. He dominated, he was a big factor against the Red Wings years ago with Tampa that killed me. And then last year against Pittsburgh, he was a big factor for Montreal. And then you take him out. And now how are you going to match up against the Leafs? Who was picking Montreal in that? Nobody. So you know, I just think what they did there was really beyond exceptional. And then what they've got, what they're riding now is something else that's very improbable, if not impossible, right? What they've got going on. I think on that, I guess you mentioned Cooch and the cap thing, right? In about this, because imagine if you're taking away players there. Oh yeah, I also want to mention Anders Lee. Anders Lee and the Islanders, he was out the whole time too, and they went ahead and did it. And look at them, they're playing that kind of style that's successful in the playoffs and took them far. Montreal's doing a similar thing. So it goes back to our point about the parity and the way that the league is and the way that teams that are everybody's pretty good. All the players in the league are good. They are good athletes. We have good systems and the game is pretty much systematic. We know how to play. And if you can just get in that zone and maintain that zone, you can do something. Defense first and come back. And that's what's going on. So Anders Lee out for the Islanders, Drouin out for Montreal, and those two teams like killed it, right? It was almost an Islanders Montreal final.
Yeah, it really was. They're playing a good brand. They're playing a, they're not relying on that defense. They're actually, you know, I was saying the Islanders are actually one of the higher scoring teams of the playoffs at one point. So they're playing a somewhat exciting defensive style. It's almost like a complete game. It's kind of an interesting dynamic there, and we'll see where that goes in the future for the way teams maybe build on that.
Big time. So we, you know, in that other segment that we did that we lost, we mentioned Kucherov and the cap. What do you just give me that? What do you think of that? Because people are still talking about it, especially now they're in the final, right?
Yeah. People are still talking about it. Stop talking about it. Get over it. It's done. Move past it. You're in the final against Tampa Bay. All right. They made the finals. They deserve to be there. I would say no individual player, first of all, I don't believe is going to say, okay, I'll willingly sit out an entire regular season. Especially not someone to profile of Kucherov. I mean, so obviously he was to the point where they I would say that he was probably ready to go for the last couple of regular season games, but who's going to put him in the lineup for that? Like, who's going to insert him just for those last couple of games for no reason other than to say, oh, we're on the up and up? Like, why wouldn't you hold him out? It makes sense, the timeline for the injury. You want to have a well. If you're gonna have only play two regular season games, then you might as well play zero and take advantage of that rule. They followed the rules. They didn't do anything wrong, and you're not keeping a guy like Kucherov out of your lineup voluntarily because that's a big risk.
Like, good luck.
They have
with
to
it.
Make the playoffs, you know. And I think we said, like, take any other team, take their top guy out of the lineup. If you want to pull the same stunt, if you think they're so, no one else, why didn't other teams didn't do that just because they weren't shifty? No, other teams didn't do that because they don't have the lineup Tampa Bay has. They couldn't do it. You know, like, you can't care. Take out the top player from any other team and say, okay, let's make the playoffs still. Mm-hmm. We got Montreal, like, they're not even a playoff team anyway, right? They weren't even supposed to be in the playoffs.
I know. We joked the two COVID seasons got them in, right? I mean,
they weren't even a playoff team last year, and then they went on this little run. Like, I don't know. It's just funny. Like, so no other team is doing that. And it's not like Tampa Bay said, oh, well, we're awesome. Let's do it. I mean, they came, they didn't win their division. Their division was a really difficult one. They knew that going in. So you're not looking at that division and going, oh, yeah, we can take Cooch out and steamroll into the playoffs. No.
Yeah.
There's more to it, people.
There's no way that was their game plan. Like, let's do this. Right? I mean, it's just too risky. Good luck trying it. Anybody will try it then.
And if that's a problem, like I said, if that's a problem for you, if you think that that's what got them where they are, then you need a better team.
With Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
In my dentist's office.
More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
To combat this. That's all anyway. You have to do. Get a better team.
Yeah, it was put to bed for me. I can't even believe it's a thing. So I'm just going to get on board with what Josh said, and that's my take too. Now, how about the finals matchup in general? What do you got? What do you make of this finals?
I like it. It's very interesting. You know, there's lots of good storylines. It's fun, and it's fresh. I know Tampa just won the cup, but it's fun to see whether a team can carry that on and win it 2 years in a row. And then you have Montreal out of nowhere in the finals. Mm-hmm. I don't know, like District 5 against the Hawks here. Like, so I don't know what to make of it. And the first game was really good physical hockey. I liked the way the teams are playing each other. They weren't sitting back and trying to see what the other team's doing. They were going for it. They're all in. It's nice.
Well, now, do you think Montreal has a chance? I'm going to bring it just like that.
Yes.
Okay.
Montreal has a chance. I'm picking Montreal.
Montreal. Right. Okay. And I mean, we're trying to play like we didn't hear what the other guy said, because we did. But Josh, you said you did that. You'd like to see Carey win the cup, right? And yes. And I said that I would like to see Carey win the cup too. I like it. I love the idea. I like Carey. I like the team. And I particularly like Carey. But I also mentioned too that I would also like the idea of Stammer winning the cup. I can get behind any – when once a thing happens, I kind of go, okay, well, I like that, that's good for that guy. And this is good for that guy. And I just enjoy hockey. I enjoy – you know, I can get into the individual stories and get behind it all. So, but for Stammer last season, right, he wins the cup, but he, you know, he played one game or two games or something. It's not the same being in a suit. You know, it isn't, you know, he's out there. He's what, top three in scoring in the playoffs, contributing on a winner. It's going to be a different thing for him. And I think you'll hear him afterward, probably going to admit that he wouldn't say it last season probably, but then after it happens, he'll be like, this is way better. I'm sure you're going to hear him say that if he wins the cup. So I can get behind that. Now, of course, I've also picked them. And this is not just a after game one thing. I mean, Vegas didn't – I picked Vegas, of course. I predicted a bloodbath between Vegas and Canadians. But yet – and then the first game doesn't mean that it was true. Like, obviously, I think Vegas came out and beat them 5-1 or something first game. I'm not sure if that's true, but I think I remember something like that going. It was almost like pretty good time to be that, but it didn't hold up. So the same way, when I'm picking Tampa, now that they've just come out 5-1, I'm not going to say, oh, well, that shows that my pick is good, because it could be right back into a series, right? Just like it was with Vegas. Now, I did say a couple other things about this magic and what I'm calling the pixie dust. And I think a few things are kind of wearing off. It's blowing off. And there are just a few key points that you could say after game one that were broken. I think for one, Montreal's coming into this, and I think they might have that small little bit in their mind that's taken off the gas because they feel a sense of accomplishment for having won the conference final, right? So they kind of feel like, we did it, we're in the final, and everybody's celebrating a lot, and there's lots to celebrate, but because of that celebration, that's that little thing they take. It's that little foot off the gas, or whatever you want to call it, that might cost them and bring them back to some kind of reality, because this is not – they're not there. They're there on a magic run, right? So you have to stay in the zone. And then, so that might be one little thing. And then caught up in the hoopla of the final. And then in the first game, right, you remember some of the other stats that were just all these impossible stats they were carrying on. One was holding these top two duos to one goal in the whole series, right? We had the Matthews Marner. We had Ehlers Wheeler we talked about. We had the Stone and Pacioretty held to one goal. Well, Cooch and Point both got 3 points in the first game. Cooch got two goals. So even the goals, like literally just broke that thing. That's over. So in game one. So forget about that, keeping the top line down to one goal. That's a little bit a chink in the armor. And then you had that 32 straight kills, and while an insignificant goal, 5-1 for Stammer, about a minute and something left, well, it's a little significant in that streak's broken and that little magic. And then you had another one, which is Carey playing out of his mind and being like the best goalie in the world. Him and Vazzy are like right up there. Who knows? Who can call it now? And he just looked normal. He looked good, but just normal. And now, what I did say and what I'm going to say again is that you can bring it back, right? You just have one game, and then, like, you know, Tampa beat Islanders 8-0 in game five. And then there was all of a sudden a game seven, and then it was 1-0 in the game seven. So it's not like it's a big thing. You can just bring it right back. But I'm just saying they're getting pulled away from that magic. They've got to snap it back next game quick and get everything back in that zone. Carey's going to get back in the zone. They got to get back in the zone if they want a chance, is what I'm saying. Because right now, it's a little bit of the dust is wearing off. People are going, oh my God, right? After that kind of first game. And they're overwhelmed in that building too. And they're acting like, oh, it was really crazy in that barn. And like, you know, we'll get used to that and be better second game. But like, you were in Vegas. That place is crazier than anywhere, right? So I don't know, man. It's something, but I would have, and I would re-up if it was like Vegas and Montreal again. I would choose Vegas. Like, I don't think that they should win the thing. Like, I think it's magic, and I don't know how long they can hold on to it. And that's all I would keep re-upping. Like, and then I see Tampa and I look at it and I just go, it's gotta be Tampa. Like, I don't say that it's not possible, and I don't say they're not doing well. I'm going to repeat again. I don't think they don't deserve to be here, anything like that, any of that stuff. They are here playing the right way, but they've got to maintain that close to what we have to keep calling magic, and everybody playing to the top of their games, everybody doing their top thing.
They did go on that magic run in 93, and they had the 11 or 13 straight overtime wins, whatever it was, and they lost game one in that series 4-1 to the Kings. I remember. Mm-hmm. I think Wayne Gretzky scored every goal in game one, including Montreal's, on his own net.
That's right. He did score his own net.
Anyway,
Gretzky can do whatever he wants.
1-4 straight. Now they might have to pull the old illegal stick move. I don't know. We'll see what happens.
Those were the days in our minor hockey too, in our youth, right? Getting the stick calls. But that was the real deal, even at the NHL level. That's amazing. Marty, what are you doing with that stick out there? That's what I've got for that final. I mean, look, I don't know what to expect. I can just call what I see, but I can't be too surprised if they win. I mean, I can be surprised, but I can just be like, well, I mean, everybody was stunned. These people have not been calling it beforehand, right? I mean, now there's a few calling Montreal. Like, you pick Montreal, and some people do, but, you know, I don't know.
Some people do that sort of thing, whatever. Yeah. That's what floats their boat.
Yeah. And I'm saying again to the thing, like, I'm calling about, if you really want to, just going back to this, like, the whole kind of big theme of our thing here that I'm bringing to the show today is this North Division, you know, wasn't very strong. People recognized it. And then now we're saying, oh, no, it's not, because look, they're in the final. It doesn't matter if they win the final or they win the cup. It was not strong. You saw it wasn't strong. You still can't even believe how they beat Vegas. Now we're going against Tampa. You don't know. If you have that, I defy you to pick them for next season. Are they going to make the playoffs? If they win the cup, are the Stanley Cup champions going to make the playoffs? Or at least the representatives in the Stanley Cup final going to make the playoffs? I say no. I think Toronto is probably going to get one of those. I think Toronto's getting in as a wild card. I don't think they're going to get in the Atlantic, right? I think they're going to be one of the wild cards. And that's even tough to do. That's not even guaranteed, because I said how strong the Metro was. Montreal is not going to be one of those. Like, just in the where they are in their whole thing, right? But it speaks back to the parity in the league and the kind of thing that can happen these days, that people can play good hockey. Any team can, almost any team, I wouldn't really put Detroit in that category necessarily. Maybe, though, can get in some kind of zone and win a series and then maybe win two or three. So you can put it together and do it. And that's what they're doing. I'm giving them full credit, remember. I don't know how many times I've said it today, because we've done so many, we failed recording, and I've just repeated it a lot. Because, you know, people are going to be fired up. But it's like, I'm trying to say that two things are true. They are playing well and deserve it. And that division was not strong. And everybody recognized it. And I can't stand people trying to pretend like that's not the case now, that you didn't see the same thing we all saw. And I'm saying, call it. Call it next year. Are any people going to get any of those things? Is Marner going to be top five in scoring in the league? Is Austin going to get 65 goals or whatever it translates to? I don't think so. Anyway, guys, bring it to me, whatever you think. I guess another one you had, Josh. Oh, wait, though. Actually, another one we didn't – another point, quick one, was the – what's the vibe on the Canadian teams hoping for the Canadians? What's the etiquette, and what's the general vibe going on there? You live there.
There's some mixed reviews. I mean, I don't understand it. And you look no further than Steve Dangle, the ultimate Leafs fan. Just that's his whole job, is to be a Leafs fan. And he's even, after round one, he was, I don't know what to expect from him, but he was set for a long playoff run, I'd imagine. So he's been live streaming the games anyway, even though the Leafs aren't in. He's been watching Canadiens games. You can watch online with him. And now he's even to the point where he's got a Habs jersey on in these videos. And it's like, it's for charity. He said, yeah, if you raise enough money, and they said, will you wear this? He said, yeah, if you raise money for charity, I'll wear your jersey. Sure. And they did. So he did. And, Leafs fans are turning on him. Some, not all. Some, though, are like really going like, I wouldn't be caught dead in a Leafs jersey. And actually, it reminds me of a story of our friend Carl McGilvery. Yeah. I'm pretty sure I heard this story where he lives close to a relative of Brad Marchand or something. Anyway, and Marchand pulled up in a vehicle, and Carl saw him and said, hi to him or whatever. He said, hi, do you want an autograph? And he said, no, thanks, I'm a Montreal fan. Whatever, like, there's just things you don't do as fans of teams against certain rival teams, right? And, most of the Montreal fans and Toronto fans aren't even as much fans of their own teams as they are haters of the opposite color. So, it's brutal to have those people for them. Like, they would do anything other than cheer for the other team. And all of a sudden, everyone in Canada is supposed to just cheer for Montreal because they're the only Canadian team left. Then it doesn't really make any sense to me, especially when you consider that there's more Canadian players on Tampa Bay than there are in Montreal anyway. So the Cup's going to spend more time in Canada if Tampa wins it than if Montreal wins it. Like, yeah. Where do you draw the line? What defines a Canadian team? Now, it is cool, the storylines of say, oh, the Cup, a Canadian team won the Cup. It is kind of cool to say that, but I'm not going to pick a team based on that. Either you like the team or you don't. That's where I'm at.
I thought for a lot of people that it was more about it's a lot about that, the Canadian Cup in Canada, keep it home and all. But it was also about the idea that the vindication of the North. It's almost like, well, at least if we do that, then we can pretend that our division didn't suck. And they're kind of like I can't stand hope for Montreal, but in the back of my mind, I'm kind of like, it sounds pretty good for us. We got beat out by the Cup champs rather than whatever, like the alternative that we just, of course, they got blown out when they got into Vegas, and that was the end of everything, right? Of course, because we were all a joke. Like, I think they have that in mind, but then you get that thing with the CN true. Tower, huh? That part's true.
That part's true, I think, too. I think you're right. But I was about to say the same thing. Like, the hardest part for me to understand and grasp is the city of Toronto lighting up their major landmarks in Montreal colors. What are you doing?
I don't know, man. I guess it's just the whole thing is to look like a good guy all the time and just be, I just love everybody. You're not, you don't. You hate them. Don't act like you do it. Like, Toronto fans, but I know the ones I know were losing their minds about that. Like, what is that? Like, this is sacrilege, right? But there they were, the city doing it. Like, do the fans have any say in their city? Tell them. It's like, what are you doing? Get that crap out of here. I did. That blew my mind when I saw that. So I don't know how much of it is getting behind Canada and now they're Canada's team, which is what I think the CN Tower was trying to represent Canada, and how much is the, we want to kind of hope that for the North, sake of the North, but.
Well, PM Justin Trudeau, I saw a tweet, I forgot to mention earlier, tweeted Joe Biden and said, the two best teams in the NHL are going head to head in the finals. How about a friendly wager or whatever? And okay. I see what you're saying there. But anyway, that's like the whole Canada versus the States. I know what you're doing. And Joe Biden's like, you're on, pal, was his answer. And I remember I was thinking the same thing. And somebody wrote underneath, I hope Joe Biden doesn't negotiate with other countries all the time like this without knowing what the stakes are, agreeing to things without knowing what the stakes are. Because it was just, how about a friendly wager? You're on. Like, we don't even know what the wager is, right? But it's that whole thing, Canada. Canadian team against American team. I don't know.
Hello, it is Ryan, and I was on a flight the other day playing one of my favorite social spin slot games on chumbacasino.com. I looked over at the person sitting next to me, and you know what they were doing? They're also playing Chumba Casino. Coincidence? I think not. Everybody's loving having fun with it. Chumba Casino is home to hundreds of casino-style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere, even at 30,000 feet. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com to claim your free welcome bonus. That's chumbacasino.com and live the Chumba life.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.
Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kid's PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Yeah, I don't even know if Joe would know what hockey is.
Trying to
Yeah, and what's Trudeau time with the best teams? I think Joe's having a hard time figuring all that stuff out, but like even just, you know, but at least he's on the good side of it. Like Tampa, it was, I mean, what's Trudeau talking about Montreal being one of the two best teams? I mean, again, they're the two teams left standing, but good God, I shouldn't say that. No, anyway, but of course, they generally, it's historically, they do friendly wagers like that, and it's a fun thing. In that way, I almost kind of hope that Montreal wins just for that part of it. But of course, I got behind Tampa. Look, we had Matt Hill on the show recently, and then I became a Tampa fan. Listen to him. You heard him. He went on his passion and the enthusiasm. He's a salesman, and he sold me on Tampa. We said right in the show, I was like, I think I like Tampa now, Matty. And I did. So I kind of... For me, it was after Sid was knocked out, I kind of looked to Nate and I go, well, he might as well get his cup now. And then, and plus they're just fun and good team to watch. And then they were knocked out and I was like, oh, Tampa all the way. So I like them. And I just think they are it. They should win. So that's where I'm at with that. One more point then was the embellishment with Kucherov. You say that embellishment's been brought up. What's this one all about?
Oh, it's been brought up. You want to talk about... Montreal Canadiens fans can't let the salary cap circumvention go. Well, this is another thing that it's like, my goodness, anyone who's not a Tampa Bay fan is actually saying that Kucherov is a big diver. But So from game one, there's things that throughout the playoffs where people are saying it. But in game one in particular, there was a particular play where he hit the puck in Montreal end and Shea Weber actually hacked his wrist almost off. Like, it was a pretty dirty slash that should have been called and was missed. And then the puck went out in the neutral zone and Kucherov circled back and then got the puck and started attacking the other side of the ice against Ben Sherratt. And he cut inside in front of him and sack his hands on a stick with this and pushed. And it was full arm extension. And they called it a roughing penalty, not a cross check, because he hit more with the glove than the stick. But still, the motion was there. And it was close to the head, but maybe not quite. And people are all debating, did it hit the head? No. First of all, there's penalties with no head contact. Like, it's still a rough or a cross check, still a penalty. And then people are saying, well, he barely hit him. Well, okay. Listen, he was just slashed. He's had a lot of things done to him this whole playoffs. For a guy who missed the regular season, he's pretty battered down already. It's kind of funny. He's one of the guys, is he injured? How injured is he? Can he play? And he didn't even play the whole regular season because he's just getting beat up. Now, he does things on his own. I know he's not the cleanest player. He does some things also, but everyone, you know, that's just what the league is right now. And he takes a lot of abuse. And so to go through that slash and then to go on the next guy and take that shot close to the head, he didn't even snap his head back. He didn't exaggerate it. He just sat there and he was almost down on one knee because of the way he was cutting in. And then he got pushed and it's like, okay, you're going to take a minute to get your bearings there. He wasn't selling a call. There was already a call there. If you don't want to call, don't cross-check. He didn't have to sell anything. It was a penalty. And then later on in the game, the big one that everyone's talking about is cutting across in front of the net. And Shea Weber, you know, great guy, team guy, captain, do anything for his teammates. But a big thug in front of the net, same as everyone else, doing dirty, ugly, disgusting things in front of an NHL net. And... So Kucherov was skating by him, didn't even have the puck, wasn't even eligible to be hit, and Weber slashed him. Mm-hmm. And he caught him in the back of the leg, like right in the back of the leg where there's no padding, and up near the knee. And so Kucherov went down, and he slid the boards, and he basically hit the ref. Like, it was so funny. The referee was like staring right at it. Got slashed, slid right beside the ref, and then like got on two knees and was just like looking at him. The ref's like, nope, nothing. Get up. And Shea Weber ended up getting a fine, $5,000 for that.
Yeah, the league thought so it was something
that the you know, right. And they're just the dominant, like they don't even notice anything. And they think the referee didn't even call a penalty. And they're still seeing this and saying, we got to fine it. They didn't fine Kucherov for embellishment. They fined Weber for the slash, because no matter what you say, forget Kucherov, Montreal. Forget Kucherov, anyone who hates Tampa and doesn't want to see them win the cup. Forget that there was a cap circumvention and he shouldn't even be playing and whatever. Forget that. Look at your own guy. Look at Weber. He slashed him. If you don't want someone to suck the ref into calling a penalty, don't hack them in the back of the leg. Be clean. Be strong. Be smart. Mm-hmm. I'm hoping for Montreal. I don't hate them. But
I know.
You have to worry about your own guys. Weber is so dirty that in my NHL, he wouldn't be playing anymore. I would have suspended him for 13 games. As a three-time repeat offender in this playoffs for all the garbage he's been doing.
Josh from Tough Calls getting upset.
Like, it just button, and all of a sudden, Kucherov gets this reputation. You take a hack in the back of the legs. Weber's a big guy, and you always use that as an excuse when he throws a hit. Well, he's so tall. How's he supposed to not hit people in the head? He's so big. Well, then maybe he shouldn't be slashing people if he's eight times as large as everyone else in the league. And is the only one that's allowed to hit someone in the head because he's so big. Well, maybe his slashes hurt more than other people's too because he's so large. Mm-hmm. I don't think Kucherov is faking it. You line up and let me take a good crack at the back of your knee, and we'll see how quickly you buckle, people.
And when I want to highlight here,
yeah.
I'm just saying, go.
It doesn't take much. I was going to say, like, I talk about that playoff story where in junior hockey, I was getting slashed in the arm right here. And it wasn't like it was one big one, but it was multiple fairly good ones. And after a while, you hit that spot. A little one would have sent me in agony.
Mm-hmm. If you were wearing a soccer shin pad on your arm, right?
Like, he's trying to get through an NHL playoff season, and we're in the finals, so he's been through a lot. And he's a dangerous player, so people are targeting him. He's probably a bit tender, guys. So it's not going to take as much to hurt him as it would in another situation, maybe.
Big time. And I mentioned too, like, same thing. I mean, getting hit on a funny bone hurts. Like, there's certain parts that just hurt. And a guy, again, just taking a little second, you get hit and he doesn't go around and screaming and rolling around, but he just goes and gets hit and slides down and just kind of sits there for a second, just kind of, and then gets up. I mean, like, or, you know, looks up and says, hey, and then that's it. I mean, that's not a big deal. I want to point out on what you're you know, you're going pretty hard on it. Almost like, just give up. And it sounds like, well, you're just a Tampa guy. This is Josh has picked Montreal to win, and he's hoping for Carey to get his cup. And he's still saying this because he just cares about reality and full context and safety, right? So, I mean, but that's just people, man. They just get caught in their thing and they don't know how to look at the full context when they're just colored with their goggles and their team going, man, you just hate Montreal. That's why he's diving. Well, no. What if the guy's a thug? And if it were Chara doing it or something, you would have hated him.
I understand fandom. Part of it is being unapologetically biased. That's who you are. It's fun. You have the fun banter, but it's not fun anymore. You have to let these things go. You're taking the fun out of the series for other people who are so, I don't know, obtuse, really, is what you are. Okay. You're taking the fun out of it. The fun banter is gone. It's getting a little too serious, and you need to let it go. Get over yourselves. It's not like I wouldn't have suspended Tampa players for anything that happened here. I'm not exactly friendly to them. With expensive game on my Twitter, I was already accused of being biased against both Montreal and Tampa in 6 minutes of the same game. So I don't know how it can be both, people. Like, it's hilarious, you know?
I know how it can be both. Bias. Fan bias. So you're not biased.
I just want to see good hockey. That's all I want. I want to see good hockey. I want to see a team win the right way. And I actually want it to be Montreal. I'd be just as happy with Tampa if they win. It's great. But give me some good hockey and do it the right way. Don't be a thug.
All right. Well, we're going to let it go here. And one more thing I wanted to bring up. We don't have to go on and talk about all the awards, presenting all the awards, but we will mention the Hart just because it was crazy that he was unanimous. He got 100 votes, as you mentioned, out of 100, right? 100 first place votes, 0 second, 0 third. That's craziness that Connor got that kind of level. Before that, some commentators and analysts were talking about, well, there's always that one guy who just wants to – vote for somebody else to, I don't know, for clickbait or for just to be controversial or whatever. But there wasn't even that guy. That guy didn't even dare. He's just like it's obviously Connor. Yeah. So you got that. And did you say he was the second anonymous? Anonymous. Is that? Whoa. We've been on here a while, folks. Unanimous MVP since Wayne Gretzky or something like that.
It is 1:42 a.m. where I am, folks. Just keep that in mind.
I'm on the PM, so I'm pretty good, but anyway, what are you claiming? You're Josh is tired, so Matthew just can't screw up his words. But anyway, go ahead.
He's the second unanimous Hart Trophy winner since Wayne Gretzky in 1982.
Ah, very good.
I believe is what they said.
And I mentioned a funny stat where you bring in Wayne. Whenever you bring up these old names, especially Wayne, it just makes everybody laugh, because I was reading the thing. It was like, he's the second, Edmonton Oilers who won multiple hearts since Wayne Gretzky won 8 in a row from wherever to wherever, right? So it's not just, oh yeah, he won multiple hearts. He won a few hearts. He won eight in a row. That is just, that's Wayne Gretzky stuff. That is why Wayne Gretzky's a legend. It was crazy what was happening at the day.
That brought us to another stat of bringing up Kucherov again. I know you love to hate him. For the last two playoff years, he's had 30-plus points in the last two playoff seasons, and he's the third player to ever have back-to-back 30-plus playoff point seasons, and the other two people are Mario Lemieux and Wayne Gretzky.
Good gravy. And then I added in what I learned in reading something, that there are two others who have done it, not consecutively. So there are two other people who have multiple 30-point seasons in playoffs. Those are Mark Messier and Jari Kurri. That's the 80s Oilers. So, I mean, good God. I mean, this is crazy company. And that's the 80s, right? And then the early 90s. This is a crazy thing to be doing in this age. So Cooch is really doing something wild. But, of course, a lot of wild stuff's been happening with, as we say, the parody.
And we bring up another wild thing. We weren't going to talk about all the awards, but I'm bringing up another one. Adam Fox from the New York Rangers won the Norris Trophy, and he's the first player. He's the only other player to have won the Norris before his third NHL season. And the only other player to do that was Bobby Orr.
Bobby.
So there's another thing. And, you know, so there you, Adam Fox having a Norris season with the Rangers. And he does it before his third season. So it's not like all these people are like, oh, Adam Fox, he's been around a while, we'll give him the Norris. No, he's year two, man.
I know. And this is what made me think when you mentioned that to me. It made me think right away, though. See, if you get someone like Connor McDavid or Sidney Crosby in his second season, he did this and that. And you're kind of, yeah, it makes sense, because he's going to be one of those guys, like similar to what Gretzky and Wayne did and Lemieux did. Yeah, but Adam Fox, is he going to be Bobby Orr? Is it like, well, he's like one of these phenoms coming up? It's just what it speaks to me is the parity and the skill and the talent that is in the NHL now. That the same way, it kind of goes to what Montreal's doing. They're putting together something, and it's possible for them to do it. It's also possible for a player like an Adam Fox to kind of put together a season and really be that. Now, I'm not saying he's not going to be a multiple Norris winner, and he won't be one of those defensemen, maybe a Hall of Famer by the end of it. I don't know, but I never heard of him before the season. I never knew he was a guy. Like, it was not like we were coming in and there was a new defenseman you're looking for and thinking, yeah, he's Hedman's going to get there one day. And then he does, right? It's like, or he does it early, as I mentioned. So again, it's just speaking to that thing that we're in something different now, where there are good players, good athletes in this game, and people can put it together for a time. And that is what Montreal is doing, in my view. They're putting together something very good right now, but it doesn't mean they're as good as somebody else. We'll see. And Adam Fox, go for it, man. Keep being in the Norris finalist for your whole career. Good luck. But I don't know how that's going to happen. There's a lot of people who are good now. Yeah. So what are you thinking there, Josh? I guess we've covered a lot of stuff twice. So maybe we'll get ourselves out. And people, I said at the start of the show, I want to say one more time, why don't you give us some comments, what you think about all this, right? I mean, am I full of it? Do you want to go and say that the North is good? You can try it. Tell me what's wrong with my argument. and tell us what you think of the final. Anything you want, ask us questions. We love to hear from people. It just makes it way more fun for us. So in the meantime, we're going to get back to seeing how this series unfolds, and Josh and I will be back to comment for sure. We'll see you guys soon. That's my old move. I used it on Estelle 40 years ago. I told everybody about it. Everybody knows. I stopped short.
That is a Josh Bolton goal.
Hello, it is Ryan, and we could all use an extra bright spot in our day, couldn't we? Just to make up for things like sitting in traffic, doing the dishes, counting your steps, you know, all the mundane stuff. That is why I'm such a big fan of Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino style games that you can play for free anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. That should brighten your day a little. Actually, a lot. So sign up now at chumbacasino.com. That's chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.